Welcome everyone to another edition of Dimes on Duval. I'm joined remotely by Keith Manzi and Skylar Chase, who I believe Skylar is driving from work. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm in my Subaru Forester.
How are you guys doing today?
All good over here.
Yeah, I'm doing all right.
That's good. That's good. I know it's been, 2 weeks since we last recorded? Maybe 2-3 weeks? But it feels like it's been a minute, and I feel like a lot has happened, but also not a lot. But I just want to go right into it. Last time we talked about the Jaguars and how they stink. We don't know what the process is going to look like going forward. We did play some games recently, and most recently was the Jaguars went up to Lambeau Field against Keith's favorite team, against the Green Bay Packers, almost came out with the victory. So I just want to talk to you guys, see what your thoughts of during the game and before the game. Did you guys think we even stood a chance? How did you think the game was going to go? And were you surprised at how the game ended? And what were your thoughts during the game? Keith, I'll start with you since you are the local Packers fan here.
Yeah. So, wow. Well, yeah, I didn't get to watch it. I was actually in the car for that one, but I kept it up on my phone and just watching, just like looking. I'm saying, oh my gosh, like I never in my mind thought that we were going to lose the game, but I was very, very in the back of my mind thinking, like, are we really going to like have this go to overtime? Are we going to, you know, make this as close as possible? Like, what is going on? So I didn't really get to see a lot of what happened, but I just know that the Jaguars defense looked excellent. And they forced three and out after three and out. And I was extremely impressed by what they were able to do. But I don't know, man. That's kind of scary for the Packers. You can't be squeaking out games against teams that are in the lottery for the, you know, number one pick. So, hey, a win's a win at this point. But, hey, good for the Jags. Good for the Jags for, like, morally, even though we don't really count moral victories. But I'm happy that honestly it ended the best way possible for me. The Jaguars played a really good game, but the Packers still won.
Fair enough. Skylar, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't get to see much of the game either. I'll play more in the Coastal update. But I remember just standing outside on that day thinking about how hot it was down here and how the weather was going to be 55 degrees up in Green Bay. So I knew they were going to play a little bit better just because they're going to have more energy going to a environment that's not as hot. And they always tend to play pretty well up there. Last time we were up there, Blaine Gabbert almost beat them. So, and I would argue the Packers were a much, much better team when we played them then, too. Obviously, they're first place in their division. You know, Aaron Rodgers is doing Aaron Rodgers things. But he's a little bit older. He's missing Allen Lazard. So, there's... You gotta go to other weapons and such. But, I mean, obviously, I always expect the best out of the Jaguars, so I wasn't too surprised. The offense, I mean, like I said, I didn't see much, but what I did see is, like, the offense probably could have done a little bit better in terms of getting the ball to certain places. Obviously, that's a QB issue right now, and who knows what's going to happen when Gardner's healthy, but I'm sure he'll be plugged back in. You could probably argue that we may have won that with Gardner, depending on his health. But, I mean, that's another story. We lost the game, and that is what it is. We played pretty close, and I would expect to see similar games throughout the rest of the season where, you know, they play with heart and such, but they don't quite pull it out. It's just not going to be great for them the rest of the season. But hopefully we'll get, you know, a great player after this year.
Fair enough. Now, I did, unlike you two, I was able to watch the game, and I watched at home with two of my friends, and we were watching the game, and Keith, you mentioned the three and outs and by the Packers, and we were like, what the hell is going on? This defense is something I've not seen at all this year, maybe since week one. Actually, no, week one, the Colts were still driving down the field, so this is weird seeing that a high-octane offense in the Green Bay Packers, starting off slow, three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. I was like, okay, something's got to give. And then eventually when the quarter changed, when the Packers switched sides of the field and without a doubt, next play, you see Aaron Rodgers throwing a 78-yard bomb to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And that's the Jaguars we all know, blowing coverage or even getting beat one-on-one. It was a weird game, but I'm also very happy with how it ended. The Jaguars lost, which is what we need as Jaguar fans to get a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying actively tank, but it seems like we're going towards that process of possibly not winning another game this year. I don't really expect to win the rest of the season. Maybe week 16 against the Chicago Bears. But at this point, I don't know with our offense. Our offense is not that great. Now, we did play a competitive game, and we were in it until the last possession. So that's something I am looking forward to see, the development of this team. There's young talent all across the roster. We are the youngest team in the NFL. We have talent on both sides of the ball, and now it's all about getting better and better on a week-in and week-out basis and developing these players. Now, I wonder how they feel about almost beating Aaron Rodgers, but they're probably kicking themselves now. And I don't know if you guys saw the quote that Doug Marrone had after the game, but you can tell he is sick and tired of losing. So I don't know if the players are eventually going to win a game or two, say, like, look, we're still a good team, because they're all fighting for their jobs. No matter what, all of them are fighting for their jobs, whether it's because new GM is coming in next year and changing the culture, or even for other teams possibly looking to sign them as free agents. So I do like what I saw from the Jaguars this past Sunday, but I'm also even more happy that they did lose, because it also solidified us as still in the sweepstakes for Trevor Lawrence and or Justin Fields.
I also believe we're the only one win team right now.
That is correct. So we are the only one win team.
We have some leeway. I mean, I'm not sure if the Jets will get a win. If they do, that'll be a miracle for us. And I mean, that'd be, you know, we're gonna might see another winless team in history, NFL history.
They do play the Patriots soon, so we'll see if they do beat the Patriots, because they're so close to beating them last week.
Yeah, but then the Patriots, I think the Patriots probably found some new motivation with beating the Ravens, and I have to look at the Patriots schedule and such. But I mean, I would say they could potentially make a comeback for that division, despite the Dolphins playing really well and the Bills kind of staying steady. I mean, that's the thing. If the Bills are staying steady and the Dolphins are hot right now, but if the Dolphins' flame flickers out, who knows? Because, you know, Tua is still a rookie quarterback. He hasn't faced any adversity in the league yet. I mean, yeah, he has, but in terms of, you know, how they've gone about the few games he's played, he's done well, and he hasn't really had to be in a situation that's too uncomfortable for him. But I think the Miami Dolphins will probably win that division eventually, but it's just interesting to see the Patriots come back and beat the Ravens after almost losing to the worst team in the league. Makes me wonder about the Ravens, but we'll see. Speaking of their division, obviously we're playing the 9-0 Steelers now. So how do y'all think that's going to go?
That was going to be my next question. Great segue there, Skyler. My next question was going to be, do you think the Jaguars can upset the Steelers? The Steelers come into Jacksonville. They play 1 o'clock on this upcoming Sunday. And they are undefeated, 9-0. They have not lost a game yet. They've had a few scares to lose that undefeated season. But right now they're coming into Jacksonville. Their offense is clicking. Do you guys, and after the Jaguars just almost beat the Packers, do you guys foresee any chance the Jaguars upsetting the Steelers on Sunday?
I mean, they always play the Steelers really well. Like, I wouldn't go against them, but in terms of this year, this season, the Steelers are just a much better team. I mean, they have so many weapons across the board. So, we beat them when they had the triple Bs or whatever. And at that point, people thought they had one of the best offenses in history. But, I mean, you can look at their team, their roster, and they have quite a few weapons across the board that Ben can just – he can literally give it to one of three receivers, like, at the line of scrimmage, and it could easily be a touchdown later on that same play. So that's the only thing that's really scary, and we're really bad at screens, wide receiver screens, running back screens, whatever. Our screens are broken. We let a bunch of bugs in. So, you know, they're going to score. I think they'll score a lot, and I don't think it'll be that great for us this week, but I'll still predict a Jaguars win when it comes down to it.
Well, in their four road games this year, Pittsburgh has only won by one possession or less. In all of them except for the first game of the season, but that was against the Giants, so I almost don't even count that. But against the Titans, Ravens, and Cowboys, it was all within one possession. I think if the Jaguars were somehow able to get off to a hot start, that's the biggest thing. If Luton can figure it out and score some points, I mean, the Steelers average 30 points a game, and you're going to have to basically score over 30 to win this ball game, and they're only allowing 19, so.
Yeah, I was going to say their defense is one of the best I've seen in a while, yeah, so it's going to be hard for
obviously I don't
Lewin and company.
The Jaguars being able to pull that off, but if they were, it would have to be getting off to a quick start and hoping that they are overlooking. I know Tomlin and his comments about how he has ridiculous respect for the Jags. A bunch of BS from his mouth. I don't like him at all, but I'm hoping.
Well, I mean, the Steelers, they all I would agree with Tomlin there. We're paying their neck for the Steelers for some reason. I don't know what it is. It's like we're how the Titans are to us, we are to them.
But the thing is, where I see where Keith is saying it's a bunch of crap is because the Jags are a 1-8 team, 1-9. I don't even know what a record is.
It's still
and
the NFL.
The Steelers, I know there's. I don't see the Jags.
It's
and
just still to say my the thought, NFL.
And they could be.
I don't care. Jags have. I don't see the Jags coming out victorious because that Steelers defense is going to feast on Jake Luton and make his life a living hell. I don't see him really getting much going against the Steelers defense. And then Ben Roethlisberger is going to take care of business against our young defense. And I just don't see it happening where the Jags have a chance of beating the Steelers.
Well, my point is just saying that, you know, you can't take any team lightly in the NFL. And
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. The Steelers took the Cowboys lightly a few weeks ago, and they almost blew it against the Cowboys. And the Cowboys arguably could be worse than the Jaguars.
Yeah, arguably, for sure, yeah. And, I mean, but that's the thing, though. It's like the Jaguars have, in the past, had the Steelers' number. This is our first Monday Night Football win. We're the only team to ever beat them at home twice, and we've done that twice, like twice in the same season, and we've done that twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when it comes down to the history, for some reason, the Jaguars do have the Steelers' number. It's just –
those are better teams that we put out there, which is – It goes back to my point. Like, think about 2 years ago when the Steelers came into Jacksonville.
And they won on the last second. We were really bad, and they won on the last play of the game.
Yes, that's the thing. We were supposed to have a Sunday night game, and they flexed because we were so bad. But, again, and also I think I don't know if Pittsburgh has fans in their stadium, and I'm actually thinking now that you mention it, Keith.
I think they do.
Who are those road games – Who are the road games they had this year?
They started the season against the Giants, and then...
That's irrelevant. I'm not counting the Giants.
They went to at Tennessee, at Baltimore.
I think Tennessee had fans. Baltimore, I'm not sure if they had fans. But I just wonder... And Dallas, I know, had fans. So I'm not sure if the fans aspect will be something to monitor as well, see how Steelers do against their road opponent with the fans. But, I mean, for me... I would like to see a Jags win just because I really hate the Steelers. And I would like to just say we own the Steelers, but I just don't see it happening this week. And honestly, overall, I don't want to beat the Steelers. I want the Jaguars to stay in contention for a top two pick at this point. I don't care. I know I talked about not wanting to tank early in the season, but at this point, I want a quarterback that I can see leading our franchise for at least another 5 to 10 years and keeping the franchise here in Jacksonville.
Well,
because if we don't, oh boy.
We won't get into that discussion, but with what you're saying, the tanking and stuff, it is a weird, conflicting feeling. Like, we don't want to lose to the Steelers, but we don't want to win to lose that spot. But the quarterback class this year is pretty nice. I'm not saying that it's good to not guarantee Fields or Lawrence, but I would still be happy with Trask or Wilson and another weapon prior to that. So. It's an interesting situation, but with me, I'm so confident in some of the quarterbacks coming up that I'm not necessarily too worried about where we'll end up, because it's similar to, I mean, Miami got really lucky. They were allegedly tanking last year, and then they played strong, and they still ended up.
They were tanking for Tua, yeah. They ended up with their guy, yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the point I'm making, I guess, is that they can probably still play tough. You know, they have the trade bait if they want to get back in there. A new GM, I'm sure, would do whatever he's willing to do to get one of those two guys, because both of those guys seem to like generational talents.
But my concern is if they bring in a new GM. But we'll see. That is all questions for later in the year. Hopefully we have record an episode where we let everyone know, if they haven't already know by the time, that Jaguars have fired Dave Caldwell and Doug Marrone, but that can be saved for another day.
Yeah.
So, Keith, I know you've been kind of quiet on this. Do you want the Jaguars to win, or do you think that they should lose? What do you think?
Nah, I mean, I don't mind them losing, just because of it's already a down year for me as a fan anyway. So let the Jags keep losing. Let the Noles just keep losing. So I just can keep some consistency here. So I just
the Noles aren't going to get a better draft pick. I don't know why you want the Noles to keep it.
I mean, I honestly, I don't.
Well,
I don't
it's a lost season for the Noles, but we're
I don't
not
even want to talk about them.
I really tried not to bring up the Noles, but we're not going to go any further, and I'm not touching any longer on the Noles. They're going to get wrecked by Clemson this
weekend.
Yeah,
we might as well start talking about how amazing Florida is and how
Skyler, you're two for two with the segues.
Yeah.
So from the NFL, we go to college football, and the Gators are looking really good right now.
Like I said,
they are.
You know, I
you did, you you.
I tried to tell y'all. I tried to tell you. You know, Trask was going to be in the Heisman candidate running, and you know he might be a potential top pick later on in the season because I saw this coming. But it's really great seeing the 63 points on the board, and you know our quarterback at the top of the Heisman list, and
yep.
It's just great. But the defense concerns me still. But they seemed pretty good, solid against Arkansas, but we still have to take care of business against our remaining opponents, and then when it comes down to Bama, I think that's going to be one of the best games of the season, so long as that happens still. I don't foresee us losing to either Vanderbilt, Kentucky, or Tennessee, but college football has crazy stuff happen too. But, yeah. I mean,
yep, exactly. So that was going to be my question. So if the Gators presumably win out, like uh-huh. they should, according to their schedule, do you think that the Gators have a good shot of going to the playoff, the college football playoff?
Before you get into that, do you win out, like win the SEC championship too?
Oh, good. Thank you for clarifying that. So they win out the regular season.
What?
If they lose the SEC championship, do they get into the college football playoff?
I mean, obviously it depends on the other circumstances in the league, but no, I don't think so. Because I think if Texas A&M continues to win out, they'll probably be in. And also it depends on if Wisconsin gets a schedule in and Ohio State. I think Ohio State's probably going to be a solid playoff team. Alabama will be undefeated, and if they lose the SEC championship, they'll probably be in regardless. So that's why I kind of hope they lose to Auburn or something crazy like that.
Well, I mean, Alabama, if they lose the SEC championship, that means Florida would win it. That's what I was going with. If Florida lost the SEC championship.
Well, that's what I'm saying, too. It's like, even if Florida were to win the SEC championship and Alabama made it to the SEC championship, was undefeated, and lost to Florida, I still think you would see two SEC teams in the playoffs.
I disagree with that.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's not rare. I mean, we've seen Georgia and Alabama do it for many years now, and I think you could see it still again. I mean, BYU's playing well, Ohio State's playing well, but I don't know. It's
Clemson,
like depends on
Notre Dame, Cincinnati. Those are all other.
Gosh, I hate Notre Dame. I don't think Notre Dame's a top five team.
What?
But I don't.
I disagree with that.
I would put Cincinnati above them.
Why?
Would
you put Florida
Cincinnati,
above them?
Yeah,
oh,
I put
drunk,
Florida above
man.
Notre
you're
Dame.
Drunk.
What? No, I'm in my car. I just got off work. I can't be.
They beat Clemson. Yeah, sure, without Trevor Lawrence.
Still, yeah, I understand that. And they had to go to double overtime, right? Like, it would have been better if they lost to Clemson without Lawrence, because then it would have been like, okay, yeah, they can't even beat a guy like the team when they're fully healthy. So, I don't...
No.
Wait, hang on.
You're saying for Notre Dame, it'd be better if they lost to Clemson without Lawrence? It'd actually be worse for them.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying better for me to, like,
Oh, better for the Gators.
Well, okay. To prove my point that they're not good. The fact is, they went to double overtime, and they're playing Clemson's backup quarterback. I'm not saying he's
a bad player.
Who's
still a five-star recruit and a very, very good quarterback.
Understandable, but it's not the same as beating Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, obviously. Had Trevor Lawrence played, Clemson would have won that game no problem, in my opinion. Like, there wouldn't have been any issues cruising past Notre Dame. Notre Dame probably would have had their soul sucked out of them. they would have had to pray for 50 Hail Marys and, you know, ask for forgiveness for how bad they played against Trevor.
They held a Heisman candidate, Travis Etienne, for 28 yards. 28
that's
yards.
That's great, but that's not Trevor Lawrence, though. That's not the Trevor Lawrence is Clemson's offense.
They're both
Trevor
Heisman
Lawrence
candidates.
Is probably what gets. I understand, but Trevor Lawrence is what gets Etienne space and such. You know, you
that
can't.
Doesn't make sense.
Respect.
He hands him the ball.
Yeah, but if you can have, if your defenders are backing up, expecting pass, knowing Lawrence can do anything, you're going to have less defenders in the box. If you have if you have not Lawrence at quarterback, whatever his long name is, you know, he's not going to beat you over the top quite as much as Lawrence would have. Lawrence would take advantage of any and every mistake you make in your secondary. Lawrence would have audible from any run position play that would not have worked into a pass play that would have benefited Clemson, as opposed to continuing with a run play that may have gotten stopped. That's where the, you know, expertise of Lawrence comes in. His knowledge about football and understanding what defenses are trying to do is far superior than most college quarterbacks that we've seen in the past, and that's why he's been hyped up so much. That's just why Clemson is so much better than every other team, and they're able to do so much more. It's just because of his understanding of what the other defense is doing, and he's able to get in and out of plays that are proper for their offense. So I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it's not the same. Lawrence would have beat Notre Dame by 21-plus points. It's like if we had Emory Jones in against Arkansas, we're not winning 63 to whatever. We're probably still winning like 40-something to whatever, but that's probably three less touchdowns off the board because of a player.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying is Lawrence adds to the spread. Lawrence adds 15 points to the spread, in my opinion, regardless of who he's playing.
I will halfway agree with you and halfway disagree with you. I will agree with you.
Well, you don't half-ass anything, Keith. You need the whole half.
No, well, I'm half and half because, of course, with the quarterback situation, sure. All right, I'll give you the fact that, you know, they're going to play towards him. They have more film on him. I understand that. But we can't ignore the fact that the dude still threw for 439 yards. He almost has 1,000 yards on the season already. He's completing 68% of his passes. He hasn't thrown an interception. I mean, the guy's playing extremely well. And to just throw him under the bus like, oh, well, I mean, just because he's not Trevor Lawrence doesn't mean anything.
I'm not throwing him under the bus. I'm not throwing him under the bus. I'm saying Notre Dame would not have beaten Trevor Lawrence. That's all I'm saying.
Guess what? We still have in a couple weeks.
We don't know that, yeah.
Ends, they can play in the ACC championship game, and Trevor Lawrence will be healthy.
Thank goodness.
We can see it then.
Thank goodness, because I forget that Notre Dame's actually going to play in a conference championship this year instead of their bullcrap independent schedule. So I'm happy at least for that, and we'll see then at what's going to happen, because I think Clemson's going to blow them out of the water. So with that in mind, I think Notre Dame drops out of the playoffs.
And I don't think they will. Yeah. I think they'll win by 10 or 13 points or something like that. And
before you guys get into the playoff discussion, as of right now, there's still obviously multiple weeks left in this season for each conference. So as of right now, I wanted to bring up a tweet that I saw from the ESPN college football account. I think it was CFP or CFB. They tweeted out a projection based on their playoff predictor of chance to make the college football playoff. Now, as you guys know, as of right now, four teams make the playoff. So I'm going to name off some teams and tell me what you guys think. I know you guys already had a disagreement about Notre Dame, so we'll go skip Notre Dame. But Alabama, 89%. Do you guys think
it's
a good one?
Yeah.
89% to make the playoff.
Yeah. That, like I said.
Ohio State.
Well, I was just going to reiterate, like I said, with Alabama, even if they go undefeated regular season and lose in the SEC championship, I still think they would get in.
Ohio State, 61%.
Yes.
What are you guys thinking?
Yeah.
If they have a full season, because right now the Big Ten is sketching me out.
We're just going to pretend like it's a yes.
Okay. Wisconsin at 55%.
No.
I agree with that as well. Notre Dame, you guys are both stated.
I got Clemson over there.
Notre Dame and Clemson are both in.
Notre Dame and Clemson are both in. So, Keith, you're saying Bama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson will be
the
final
four. Works for me.
Keith, you're saying Notre Dame loses in the ACC championship, and Notre Dame and Clemson are the two conference teams that get in, as opposed to Florida and Alabama.
Correct.
If, like, Florida were to beat Alabama. You don't think if Florida were to beat Alabama, you don't think those two conference teams would go in? You think it would be Florida, Clemson, Notre Dame?
The only way that happens, it depends on how the games are. If Florida blows them out, Florida's in. If Notre Dame gets blown out, they're out. and vice versa for both of those.
I mean, I don't think Notre Dame Clemson's going to be a close game though. So like I can agree with that statement, I suppose, but I just don't see a scenario where Clemson and Notre Dame both get in.
I mean, if their only losses are to each other, it's hard to count them out. They're both top five teams the entire season.
The only thing I would say then, if that's the situation, I would probably go Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and then maybe Wisconsin or BYU.
So that's where I was going next. So the next team I had on the list, Notre Dame at 49%, Clemson at 43%, Oregon at 30% making the playoff, BYU at 25%, UF at 18%, Cincinnati at 12%. UF is low because they had that loss to Texas. UF at 18%, 12% to Cincinnati, and Texas A&M to 7%. So you guys both agree that Bama and Ohio State are locks, and then Clemson is a lock should they win the ACC.
Yeah.
Now, the fourth – so if you had to pick a team from Oregon, BYU – I mean, and Oregon, BYU, Cincinnati, or Texas A&M, I'm ruling UF out because Skyler has made his voice clear by UF. Oregon, BYU, Cincinnati, Texas A&M. Of those four, who do you think has the best chance of making the college football playoff this year?
So, in the scenario where Florida doesn't win, I'm assuming Alabama wins.
Yes.
And Texas A&M continues on with their stretch. I would at that point probably go with Texas A&M, unless if BYU is still undefeated. But I have to look at their schedule. So, but if BYU is undefeated,
I got it right here.
Sure, go for it.
UNA, which is Northern Alabama, or North Alabama, excuse me,
and
San Diego State, and postponed Army, who's 22 overall.
Okay, so they're going to go undefeated. and so I don't know, actually. It's going to be between them and Texas A&M. I guess it depends on how the games go for Texas A&M coming down the stretch. How upset would y'all be if y'all saw Jimbo Fisher in the playoffs?
I wouldn't care.
You wouldn't care? Okay.
I would be like, I have no feeling.
It'd be like Florida seeing Urban Meyer win an Ohio State. Yeah, I think that's got – if Texas A&M plays well and beats everyone that they play throughout the rest, and Alabama beats Florida, I think it's Texas A&M because Texas A&M's only losses to Alabama and BYU. I mean, they'll be undefeated, but their strength of schedule is just not what it is – like not what – Texas A&M's is, and that's a big part of the playoff committee. It's an eye appeal test now, more so than ever, but you never know which way they're going to go. So I would say Texas A&M probably has the best chance.
So it's okay, so you're picking Texas A&M.
I pick BYU.
Yeah.
Keith, who would
you? BYU has the 10th ranked passing yards in the nation. They score 45 points a game. Whoever they play in the whole game, they're going to obliterate. And I'm stealing that from Sports Bar Pod, too. I'm pretty sure Scott was the one who said that as well, because BYU is just playing out of their minds down there. And
that Zach Wilson's a great like I said, with the quarterback class this year, I would be not disappointed if we ended up with Trask or Wilson, you know, later on in the first round.
Yeah, speaking of drafts.
So, yeah, speaking of drafts, again, Skyler's on fire with these segues. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into the NBA draft. The NBA draft is scheduled for 8 p.m. on Wednesday when you guys do hear this, hopefully here that same day, Wednesday, November 18th. If you guys want to hear myself and Keith talk about the Orlando Magic, we actually hopped on as guests on the Sports Bar podcast hosted by Scott Manzi and Alex Turco. Alex was out of town, so Scott was alone. He hit us up. We jumped on the pod. And we gave some good information about the NBA draft, or at least what we thought was good information, and our thoughts about the Orlando Magic. But we wanted to give you a chance, Skylar, to talk about the NBA draft in regards to what the Chicago Bulls are looking like. Who are they looking at? Since obviously Chicago, the Bulls are your favorite team. So who have you looked at the draft prospects? To see who they're possibly interested in?
Yeah, I checked out a few. Still some names I'm not familiar with, obviously, because I don't follow basketball too much. But from what the name I saw linked the most was Denny Avija, the Israel player, 19 years old, 6'10", I believe. and super athletic, can move around with the ball, handles it like a point guard, which we're starting to see more and more of these days, especially with the international players. His name being linked to Luka Doncic, but like only because he's, you know, European player and he's kind of got a similar build, but Luka's obviously a special talent, so that would be the highest ceiling for this guy. But I think that would be an interesting prospect to have. Another guy I liked, just based off the highlights and such, was the Dayton prospect. Yep.
Obi Toppin.
And he seems pretty solid. Someone you could plug in right away. And he was 6'8", I believe. So some big guys that would probably be, like, that are able to score and move around and such. I need to look at the Bulls more and see what their problems are. I know health is one of their main issues more so than anything. I actually got a funny story for y'all, just in relation to the Bulls. I had this customer come into Coastal, and he was talking about he just lost some money to his buddy down in Palm Coast golfing with him. And this guy's like an angry New Yorker, and he's just swearing up a storm. And he saw I had a Cubs hoodie on, and he's like, "So you like all the Chicago teams and all that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I root for the Bulls, Blackhawks, but not the Bears or White Sox." And he's like, "Well, you can't root for the White Sox or whatever." And then nonchalantly, very casually, he's like, "Oh, by the way, the guy I just lost to in golf in Palm Coast, he just got a job as and he's like stuttering as he's thinking, "I'm just waiting." And he's like, "Oh, he just got the job as a head coach for the Chicago Bulls." I'm like, "You mean Billy Donovan?" Yeah, and he's like, "Yeah, Bill, you know Billy?" I'm like, "Well, Billy Donovan. I'm a Gator fan too," or whatever. And I was like, "Oops." I was like, "Well, if Billy's ever in the area, tell him."
That'd be awesome.
That would be a head coach of my favorite team came into Coastal. Yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, so
that would be really dope.
Yeah,
I will say though, for you, Skylar, the biggest thing I think that's wrong with the Bulls is youth. They're just very young. You know, Thaddeus Young was the oldest player on the team last year, and he was the only
ironic
player that was in the league for double digits.
So, I mean,
I didn't catch
oh,
that.
Sorry.
You were coming in and out.
I said it was ironic, isn't it? Thaddeus Young is the oldest player. Young, old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you were lagging there for a good
okay, well,
minute
now,
or two.
How am I now?
But it's 2020. That's expected,
yeah,
with the remote
exactly.
Recording.
Well, the good thing is my
oh,
phone
what's
is,
next?
Is new and it's not dying recording. That's good.
Thank God.
That's true. But yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I did say that Keith and I were on the Sports Bar podcast. And while you're at it, go ahead and give them a subscribe on wherever you listen to your your podcasts, whether that be on your Apple iPhone, on Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, or I think he's on
yes.
Google Podcasts as well. He is. Okay. And you can give them a follow on Twitter as well at @sportsbar_pod. Once again, it's @sportsbar_pod. But yeah, we just recorded last night with them, and they dropped the episode today. And we talked a little bit of Magic, a little bit NBA draft prospects in general, and other good stuff as well. So go check it out. So next up, I wanted to go into a little bit of
NASCAR. Oh,
wait,
before we did
for you
that,
guys.
Mike, I wanted
I know
to
you
ask
guys...
something about the NBA, if I can.
So
the
go ahead,
NBA
Keith.
Communications Department actually just released something about the structure for the 2020-2021 season. And
okay.
The biggest thing is well, I'll start with the smaller part and then the bigger part. The small part is the schedule is going to be released in halves. The first half of the schedule will be released right around training camp. And then the second half will be during the latter part of the first half of the schedule. And the second, yeah.
Which is fair.
The second half of the schedule will include the remainder of each of the team's 72 games not scheduled in the first half, as well as any games postponed during the first half so that they can reasonably be added to the second half schedule. And the All-Star break will be between March 5th and 10th, right between the first and second half of the season. So March 5th through 10th will be the halfway point. But the big, big, big thing that they released is that there is going to be a play-in tournament for the final seeds in the playoffs.
Yes, I like that a lot. I love that this past season with the Blazers and the Grizzlies it was Blazers and Grizzlies. Yeah, it was Blazers
that
and
was
Grizzlies. That was a fun,
great
that, game, that was
to
a fun game to
and
watch.
It's the same thing. It'll take place after the regular season and before the first round. And it'll include the teams with the 7th highest through the 10th highest winning percentages in each conference.
Perfect. That's what I want.
I'm excited for that.
Awesome.
So, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
No, I just want to go into NASCAR, and I'm going to be the guy who has no clue what I'm going to ask. So what the hell happened in NASCAR recently? I know it was, I think, the last race. Is that correct? Of the year? Go ahead. You guys take the lead from here. Well, that's all I got.
Elliott just won the championship. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the format, but basically it boils down to the last race is kind of a whoever, you know, finishes first wins. It's not always the case, but it seems to be always the case. And it was a wild race where all four drivers that were competing for the championship were all in the top five, top four, you know, all battling for the win. And Elliott comes back, wins back-to-back races to win this first cup championship. He's son of Bill Elliott, a former champion as well. And I don't know about you, Skyler, but I'm very happy with the result.
Well, I guess, Skyler, we lost Skyler for a second. I'm not sure.
Skyler, if you're there, hang up and jump back in if you can hear me.
Well, we'll see if Skyler can come back on because he is showing connected, which is really weird. But yeah, I wish I.
Yeah.
Am I back? Hello?
Yep, you're good. We can hear you now.
Okay, so yeah, he said a son of Bill Elliott, but he won, you know, mentioned that he won two back to back races at the end of the season to win the championship. He won that too. And so it's just. With this unique season, I think that they did the Roval and Charlotte and such, and I think a lot of these drivers that they start growing up, they do go kart racing, so these road courses are here with them. So I think with that he took advantage of that, and it's pretty cool seeing that. I haven't been keeping up that much. I chose Chase, so this is actually the first time. Dale Earnhardt Sr. won a championship that I have a driver of championship. So even though I didn't support him as much as I did the Earnhardt.
Yeah, I'm jealous of you. You picked a good driver. I respect the heck out of Chase. I think he's going to be good for a long time to come. Skyler, you and I might have to do our own little episode and just talk NASCAR for a while because there's been a lot of moves this season that I really want to talk more about because, oh, my goodness.
And I will either snore during it or I'll be on it, but I'll still
leave you out of that one. You and I can do an NBA one.
And I talked about playing like a NASCAR video game and just talking over it. So maybe I'm in with a question from a non-NASCAR fan so we can know what to answer for someone who has a question about it. Because I think that's one thing. It's like, you know, there's so many questions about NASCAR and only so many people you probably would feel comfortable asking because everyone that watches NASCAR, most people, you know, they're saying – those people sometimes, and well, we're gonna help anyone we can learn about NASCAR because, you know, it is fun to watch when everything's going great. It's racing is racing, and nothing really beats the excitement. Guys bump back and forth and go around the track, and I know it sounds boring to a lot of people, but boy, it gets my juices going.
That's all that matters. As long as you enjoy it, that's all that matters. And speaking of what you enjoy, quick. Skyler, if you don't mind, just give us a quick update of what's going on at Coastal Indoor Golf, our sponsor. So just give us a quick update,
Coastal has been doing a lot of mobile events. We actually have an affiliation now. We're kind of partnered in a way with someone, but we have a mobile company called Party Anywhere, powered by Coastal Indoor Golf. So as of recent, we've done quite a handful of mobile events within the past month span or so. We actually have one tomorrow at Jacksonville Golf and Country Club, but the reason why I didn't get to watch Jaguars games, I was at K9 Social over in Riverside, the sim, and that's going to be there for about a month. So people can actually go to K9 Social, take their dog, have some beer, and golf on one of our simulators at the same time. And Riverside, so you don't even have to come to the beaches anymore just to play. And that's something that, you know, could be something, but that's doing a lot of mobile events right now and starting to pick up right like during this holiday season and during the COVID and stuff, and we can take a sim, put it in your backyard if you wanted to do an event party or whatever. Another event we did was at the Winterborn Inn in Orange Park, right on the river, and unfortunately that one was really windy, so we didn't get to set up right on the river, and we have a tent that inflates, and we put it over our sim as protection, and that thing was picking up like a parasail. So tomorrow the wind's supposed to be high, but we have a bunch of sandbags prepared for tomorrow. Yeah, just a bunch of I'm not sure what we can say, like, you know, us three can say about where we're going to record in the future, but and our future spot, there could be another sim there too.
Let's keep it on the DL for now. But just to, if you guys want to check out Coastal, like Skylar said, you don't have to go out to the beaches. You can go to Riverside. You're going to have it at K9 Social for the next month
or so.
Yeah,
that's going to be for a month.
So definitely feel free to check it out at K9 Social.
Yeah, so go there. Oh, yeah.
What were you saying,
Skylar? It's there for the month right now. But if you go there plenty, it's going to be there longer. So, you know, if you want a golf simulator, Riverside area, if you're somewhere over there and you just want somewhere quick to go play Pebble Beach while playing with your dog, I recommend going there quite often, and then that might be a permanent fixture that you could see across Jacksonville and such and other bars.
Let's hope that it is. If you guys, do you guys have anything else?
I'm good over here.
Yeah, no.
All right, Fort.
Oh,
Skylar,
I would say I'm good too. Yeah.
Yes, appreciate everyone. Also, guys, we are in week 10 now. Or no, we're about to be in week 11. How come no one has hit the damn score of the Jaguars game? Come on, we have a free prize pack to give out. Someone. Get this prize pack off our hands. We're not going to say what it is because now I found out recently what is in it. It's a good pack. So let's go ahead and get into it. Let's give out these prize packs. And hopefully only one of you hit. We don't want to give out the multiple. Just kidding. But for Skylar Chase, for Keith Manzi, this is Mike Yashji signing off. Thank you again for listening to Dimes on Dewball.